cumbia de la
Take it away.
So, welcome to the final episode of our reviews. We've done both halves of both semifinals, and now it's of course time to talk about the pre-qualified entries, the Big Five, and our host country, Switzerland. And for this, we build a special bridge to Ireland, where we meet Adam. Hello, Adam. How are you doing?
Hi, Seppi. Hi, Dave. Thank you so much for having me on your amazing podcast. It's amazing to be here.
So for the people who don't know you yet, who are you? What is your relation to Eurovision? What do you do on social media? Where can we find you?
So, yeah, my name is Adam McCallig. I am based in Ireland, in Galway, in the west of Ireland. I make Eurovision TikToks. I also upload videos on Instagram on my handle, allthingsadam.ie. I started back in 2021, April 2021, and it's gone from there, I guess. So, yeah.
Amazing. And you had quite a lot of interviews this year. You've been to many pre-parties we've seen. You've had, I think often we had like similar, you know, the same interview days and maybe just other timestamps. So, yeah, it's nice to finally connect with you in person. And we are going to talk about the Big Five.
And I'm really excited for Adam's point of view, especially because he's been to the pre-party. He's met some of them in person. You've heard them live, but also your platform, you're usually talking in, like, you've got the amount of time of a TikTok to give your opinion, but now you're going to have all the time in the world. So you can tell us all about your thoughts with a time constraint. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen any of the Big Six live, so... But I have seen performances online, like on YouTube and stuff, so it'll be interesting to hear your opinions as well. See, will we agree, will we disagree?
Yeah, absolutely. And as we don't have a running order yet, I think we just start alphabetically. So the first country will be France. Luan is singing Maman. It was, of course, the last entry revealed for this Eurovision season. A lot of hype beforehand about Luan representing France. Adam, what do you think? Did the hype live up to your expectations?
So this was the last Eurovision 2025 song we got. There was all this hype building up. People were wondering, is France going to take it? Because there are many people saying it's a weak year. Like, the song... The lyrics, like if you translate the lyrics into English, they're so emotional. It's Luan talking about her mother. She lost both of her parents at a very young age, and her mother always wanted her to do Eurovision. So the lyrics are really deep. And Luan, she's a very strong vocalist. She's a really good singer. But there's something missing for me in the production. I want to like the song more, but I'm just missing something. And this, for me, is not a Eurovision winner. I do think Mona More last year, for example, was stronger and that had more impact. I feel like there's something missing for me. Like, it's a strong song, but I don't see this as being a winner.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have a hard time seeing this as the winner simply because, you know, it's, you know, a combination of, you know, so many type of people. I do think it has potential. I think it's very competent. It's a very good song, as you said. It doesn't have Eurovision written over it. You know, it could be played on the radio just fine. I think many, like most Eurovision fans, are maybe not the target audience for this. I've seen, you know, other people react to this, especially women, especially mothers, and they were really touched by this, really emotional. And so maybe it could, you know, get a surprisingly good televote score. I don't know why, for me, it has like second place written all over it because it's very good, but just not, it doesn't have this special something to win. But I do like it. I do listen to it quite a lot on Spotify. And if it wins, it would be well deserved. I think France is on a good way. You know, the last few years, they've done really well. They just need the certain, you know, the spark to make them win the whole thing.
When the song was premiered on YouTube, I remember a comment which was, I love how friends spend more money on a production on how to present a song than on the song itself. But like it is a nice little ballad. I do enjoy it. I think that this is going to do as well as people think. I'm not really sure this is going to end up on top of it, of the competition, but it's definitely going to end up in top three. It's, you know, it's French, it's vocals, it's nice ballad. Luan is performing so well. I'm listening to it almost, you know, every day, and I do enjoy it. It's also this little touch at the end of the song where she's giving her daughter to sing this last maman part of it. It's really touching, and I think this might be a reason why people would vote for that. So yeah, I think we can definitely expect something very French on the stage, which isn't necessarily bad about it, but yeah.
The only way I see this winning is if we get some kind of situation like we had in Portugal this year at Festival de Canção, where the public and the juries disagree so much that you get a song that did kind of okay with both somehow like rise, you know, and just by default takes the win. I'm not a big fan of this. I like Adam, I like the emotional part of it. I get it. But it's one that I'm not listening to. It's not on my playlist. I'm not repeating it. Although, like, it shouldn't be overly surprising. Like I've said before, I'm not a fan of these, like, shrieking women songs. Like Seuss comes to mind, Albania 2012. And I know she's not, like, really screaming or anything, but she's still kind of moaning a lot, like, mama. It just, it gets under my skin, and I can't listen to it, so... some points for effort, but yeah, not my favorite of the year. Certainly, of the three songs that feature French heavily this year, I think it's my worst of the three.
All right. So what does all that mean in points? Adam, out of 10, how many points do you give?
Yeah, I agree with Dave. I think we've stronger French songs this year, and one very strong song we'll be discussing in a few minutes, but talking about Maman, like, I appreciate the song, the lyrics for being so deep, and Luan is an amazing singer. It's good, but I'm not at the next level, so I'm going to give this a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I like it. It's not my winner, but I do listen to it quite a lot, so I would give it an 8.
I'm giving it an 8.
Oh my god. I'm giving this 2 points for her vocals and 2 points for our moms, so a total of 4.
And we move to a completely different direction, musically at least, with Germany. Abo and Tinda will sing Balla. Of course, a very controversial entry, especially if you look on TikTok and read comments. You know, this is very divisive. Some people say this is the best German entry, you know, in a long time, and others say that the vocals are really off. And Adam, which side are you on in this discussion?
Yeah, this song is very interesting because Germany's selection this year, it was a mess, like having these covers and then eliminating singers based off covers. But judging by the end song, the song that we got, the studio version is really strong. It's a really catchy song, really contemporary. I love that we're getting a German song. The song is about a breakup, but not returning to the relationship because it hurt you too much. So a very relatable meaning. Tina, like, she's been struggling a bit with her vocals during the German national selection. She had to lip-sync her performance at Eurovision in concert, and she's pulled out of the pre-parties in London and Madrid because she is sick. So I'm hoping she does recover. I'm hoping this is not a Pia Maria situation, because the vocals for this song, they're not very challenging, like Bella La La La. They're pretty simple to nail. So I'm hoping that Pina, she nails her vocals. But I do like the song, and I'm really hoping that the performance can come together.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a very good song. I was really glad that this was chosen. You know, the German national final was a huge mess. We don't have to go into deep, but it's actually great that we still got this entry out of all this chaos. It ticks all the right boxes for me. You know, it's original. It's an authentic duo. Their whole album is amazing. I did say, you know, they had better songs, like better options that they could have sent to Eurovision. I get why they chose Baller, just because it's very catchy. But if we look at Eurovision, I do struggle with this getting a good result. You know, I really do not see the juries going for this. I think it's a good decision that they canceled the pre-parties, that they gave Tina the time to recover. But I think if it doesn't click with the televote, this could be, unfortunately, another bottom five for Germany, even though it would not be deserved. I love that they send a song in German, an original song, a good duo, you know, but like, I do fear for this, you know, just because of the vocals.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of high hopes for Germany this year, since Stefan Raab again, you know, entered the Eurovision entered the competition and tried to fill the Eurovision shoes for Germany, which is quite struggling for the last few years now. It became a new, I would say, new joke in the competition, along with United Kingdom. I have to say that I do enjoy the studio version. There's almost no there's no secret about that. I have this huge issue with hearing the song live. I also have an issue with the German broadcaster trying to hide all of those live performances of a German entry. Whenever you try to type in, you almost never find. You always see the dubbed version of a performance, and I'm afraid that this is going to be a perfect candidate again for the, I would say, last place in the grand final, just due to the vocals, because I have only if they manage to prepare this, you know, properly live, even though after the cancellations of the pre-parties and stuff, I don't think this is going to happen or end up on the left side of the scoreboard.
Yeah, Adam, you took the words out of my mouth. This screams PM Maria to me again, and it has me very, very worried. I'm actually hoping that she is sick. I hope that's the actual reason, and they're not covering for something else. And, I don't know, drilling vocal lessons into her every day behind the scenes that we don't see, you know? So that really concerns me, because I do love the song. I do think it's going to stand out. We do have other dancey tracks this year, but nothing like this one. But when I compare it to last year, I think we're going to need some. Like, when Isaac came out on stage last year, besides the amazing vocals, like, the staging also was really amazing. Like, I don't think we expected that staging from Germany last year. They're going to have to do something that amazing again this year to elevate that song to the point where people are going to vote for it. Otherwise, yeah, like Sebi said, I fear this could be another bottom five, and probably bottom of that bottom five, depending on what else makes it to the final on Saturday. So I'm very concerned, and I'm going to give my points momentarily based on what I hope she can pull off and what the, I guess, studio track gives us. So I'll leave it there.
All right. So what does that mean out of 10? Adam.
Yeah, this is very tough. Like, I like the song, but it's not like in my personal top 10 at the moment, and I do hope the vocals do come together. But I think this song is better than many Germans think, because when I made a video about the song, Germans were like, this is the worst song we've ever heard in the history of the world, which obviously is not true. Yeah, it's a Compton song. I love that they're bringing German back to Eurovision, even though they're from Austria, bringing German. I'd give this song 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's very hard to rank this because I love the whole idea behind this. I just don't love the vocals. I'll give it a 6 out of 10.
I give it a 4, but just out of that because I do... No, I'm giving it a 5 just because I do enjoy the studio version. And I wish I could say the same for the live performance.
Ooh, yeah, I'm kind of in between both of you. I think I'll go with a 7 and hope to be amazed when we get to Basel and hope for a left-hand side result.
So the next entry is Italy. Lucio Corsi finished second in Sanremo with Voleva Essere Enduro, but he ended up representing Italy in Eurovision. So, Adam, are you happy with this choice for Italy?
I wasn't a big fan of Ali's song, the song that was supposed to go. I'm not a huge fan of this song either. I'm never really listening to the song unless I shuffle the Eurovision 2025 playlist on Spotify. I'd never choose to put this on, but it's pleasant, it's competent, it's not bad. And like the meaning about acceptance, it's very deep. And Lucio is an amazing performer. It's not my personal cup of tea, but it's still quality. I think judging based off Italy's last few entries, maybe in the last 10 years, it is one of their weaker songs, in my opinion. It's just not for me. And I do love Italy at Eurovision, but I think it will do well in the juries, especially. I think this probably will finish top 10 in the final, but the song is not for me personally.
Yeah, I agree with you, Adam. I think this song takes a while to grow. I think it's not as immediately hooking you. But for me personally, it clicked pretty fast. I do prefer this over Ollie, just because it's something a bit more out of the box. And not even musically, but just, you know, Lucio and his whole persona stands out so much in this contest. And I love, you know, those sort of 70s vibes, the David Bowie kind of throwbacks. And I think, to be honest, it has the best lyrics of this entire competition. Like, especially the final words where he says, you know, I want to be a tough guy, but I'm nothing but Lucio. And I'm like, oh, that really hits. And yeah, I think I also see this, you know, doing pretty okay on both sides, you know, not in, you know, the top, but like maybe in the top 10, in the lower top 10 somewhere. Yeah. Jan, what are your thoughts on Italy?
Oh, wow. Well, I think that it's quite unusual. I mean, I agree mostly with what Adam said just several moments ago. It's definitely different from what we were used to have from Italy. That's for sure. It's not really my personal favorite when it comes to Bella Italia, I have to say, but I understand why it is. It's very niche. I would say it's very niche. I would say that music-wise, it's maybe doesn't fit in a, you know, trashy pop box as we're used to. You know, not with Italy, but like in general. But like for some reason, I enjoy it. It's not like that I'm playing it all the time on my Spotify. I don't skip it. I'll just describe it in this way. But we all have to know that casual viewers of Eurovision are not maniac Eurovision fans as we are. We have to keep that in mind. And it could, you know, resonate differently with them. But it's one of those few songs that I'm not really sure how the whole thing will end up on Saturday evening. So I'm very like, it's not like super clear what that will happen, but like, yeah, I do enjoy it. It's not my super favorite, but like, you know, it doesn't bother me. Let's put it this way.
Well, as someone who watched and live blogged 25 hours of Sanremo in February and suffered through the whole thing, I think I'm owed this moment to bitch and complain about the top 5 that we were given. I mean, we had so many choice. Like, Noemi didn't make it, and the colors were great this year. Giorgia, Gaia, like we had, and Elodie, even Coma Cose with Cuoricini. Like, that was a nice little song.
That was amazing.
Right? You had all these this variety, and then you get these five finalists that were booed in the Ariston Theater. Like, it was such a weird year. And that's even excluding the fact that the Pope made an appearance. So all that aside, Sebi, I know you like the 70s, and this gives me 70s vibes as well. And like, when I listen to this, I might say, yeah, this is what Italy sent in 74 or something, you know? Like, I know it was Cinquetti and she did amazing, but like, it's very like mid 70s for me. So it's not my vibe at all. This is the first time since 2020 that I won't support Italy at the contest. Being Canadian, I get to pick the country I support every year, unlike the three of you that are kind of stuck with your home countries that you have to support, I guess. But I always go Italy, but this year I'm struggling, and I definitely won't bring my Italian flag to Basel. I think the juries will eat this up. The televote, I don't know, because it's not very modern. So we'll see how the European public react to this, but... if it's top 10, I honestly would be shocked, but I think it's going to be about mid-table.
All right, what is that out of 10, Adam?
Yeah, this one is hard, because it is a quality song, and it does have these 70 vibes, but it's just not for me. I'm not the target audience for the song. So I will give this a 6.5 out of 10.
So it is exactly, for me, this is exactly my type of music. I always, you know, listen to retro 70 music, so I will give it a 9.
I'll give it a 6.
No, I'm still angry. This is a 2 for me. I can't stand it. I can't look at the face paint. I just can't deal with it. No, sorry. Mi dispiace.
Let's go on. Well, Spain is next in the alphabet anyway, but... yeah, this was one of the first, I think the first Big Five entry that we got this year. Melody with Essa Diva. She had a small revamp after. Adam, how do you like it? Did the revamp do anything for you?
So, when the song was picked, I was furious. I was not a fan of the original version. I was rooting for Una Na, Daniela. I was like, that's guaranteed top 10 at Eurovision. What are Spain doing? And I had this bottom in my ranking when it came out. But then we got the revamp and magic happened. I absolutely loved the revamp. And now Essa Diva is in my personal top 10. It reminds me a bit of Abracadabra by Lady Gaga. It has that kind of vibe to it. This is one of the best Eurovision revamps I've ever heard. And I love this song. I love Melody. She's so fun, like seeing her like at the pre-parties, like online and stuff. And will this do well? I don't know. I don't think the juries will go for it, but it might get a small bit of televote love. So it may escape the bottom five, but I don't think this will be on the left-hand side of the scoreboard. But I am definitely happier now than when the song was selected.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the revamp did a lot of benefits to it, but I just cannot forget the live version at Benidorm Fest. It was not good, let's put it this way. The helicopter hair and the whole, you know, all that if they bring anything to that in Basel, I do think it won't escape the bottom five. I actually think that... this together with Germany is like the biggest contender out of the big five for like the last place, depending on what happens. It will get some points from Sweden because of Gerson, but I don't know about the rest. And I think I said about Italy, the 70s vibes, but I think this one has like early 2000s vibes, but not in a retro kind of way, just in an old fashioned kind of way a little bit. And yeah, it's just, it's not my type of music at all, but I do prefer it now after the revamp as well.
Well, I have to say that like at the beginning, I was like also not really keen of it, but like at some point, I think Melody, Essa Diva is, I would say, nothing short of revelation, like in a way that one of those gems that just gets like better and better with every listen. And like the original was like a little bit bumpy, like with also with like what the fuck was that helicopter anyway, but it's great. I mean, I love the revamp. I think that the revamp like took things to like an entirely new level. It's like they heard what the fans loved and turned the volume all the way up, like adding the drama, adding like, you know, the production. Also like, you know, it feels completely arena ready for now, and it's empowering, it's dynamic, it's, you know, Spain was like, you know, let's give the gays all they want, and that's pretty much what Esa Diva is all about, and I'm here for it, and I enjoy it. It's boppy, it's trashy, it's so 2008, and I'm here for it. So yes, I love it. This is my two cents on it.
See, Adam reminded me of Oh Na Na, and now I've just taken a point off of Esa Diva's score, I think, because I'm remembering some of the other songs that were in Benidorm Fest, and we still ended up with Melody. I mean, I guess she was owed her time. I mean, she's probably had this in the back of her mind since she tied, who was it, in 2009 that went to Moscow?
Soraya.
Yes, right. So I mean, good for her. You'll probably yell at me now, but like I don't find the revamp is overly different from the original. I can hear a few things, but I don't know, it still seems about the same, and yeah, the performance from Benidorm is still in my head too, and it's just, it's a mess. The other thing I'm finding, the only support online, like on Twitter and on Facebook and stuff, yeah, I'm old, I still use those, are Spaniards. They're like, well, super prompts. Yeah, but no, but like there are years Spain with like, I mean, I enjoyed Thorra last year, I enjoyed Slow-Mo, there was a lot of support from outside of Spain for those.
Those as well.
They were, but what I'm saying is I'm not seeing the support from non-Spaniards. I'm not seeing, you know, the French the Greeks or the Danes on social media going crazy for Esa Diva. And I'm afraid they're going to be super angry again this year when they think this is going to be like top five, which a lot of them are saying it will. And then the televote gives her like 8 points or something, you know, and they're going to be shocked and they don't understand why. And that's just an observation I'm seeing. I'm not seeing much support for this outside of Spain online. We'll see what happens in Basel. And if the performance changes and she can change a few hearts and minds to pick up the phone and vote for her. But I don't know. It's certainly, and this is the weird thing, because this is the type of music I usually go for. Jan and I are usually one brain when it comes to these pop bops, right? And I can't stand it at all. I don't know. I'm not listening to it. It's, I don't know. When I hit 40, something happened. I don't know. I can't. Sorry, Melody, I can't. Lo siento.
You guys should just wait until Euroclip will be going on in Basel, so I will make you dance to it no matter what. So.
Probably.
All right, out of 10, Adam.
Yeah, I think this could be the solo of 2025, and we don't have that many girl bops in the competition. And for girl bops, I like some and I don't like some. I'm somewhere in the middle for these kind of songs, and I do like this song. Yeah, I think it's really good now with the revamp. I've kind of forgot the Benidorm performance, so maybe that's why I'm giving this a higher score. It's gone. It's out of my memory. But I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10.
Wow. Yeah, it's not my type of music, and I cannot forget the Benidorm performance. I will give it a 3 out of 10.
I love this variety of this podcast, like with or without guests, this is getting, you know, in always in completely different dimension. And this is a good part. So, I mean, why the hell not? I'm giving it an 8 because like it's, I mean, as Adam said, it's a bop, and we don't have that many this year, and we should go and appreciate it. And like my, you know, just add it to our trashy playlists and enjoy it over the season and summer and the rest of the year. Until we don't get a new one. So it's an 8 for me.
What the hell just happened? I mean, 8, 3, 8. I mean, I'm going to have to go with a 5, just because I gave Luan a 4, and this isn't that bad, so I'm going to go with a 5.
So, I would say we continue with the last of the big 5 before we talk about the host act. So, last alphabetically is the United Kingdom with What the Hell Just Happened. What the hell just happened? Ooh. As mentioned previously, but remember Monday, Adam, your neighbors, will you give them any neighbor votes this year?
I absolutely loved UK last year with Dizzy. I loved the studio version. I loved the staging. I loved the performance. I loved everything about it. This year, I am not a fan at all. And I do love girl groups. I really want to see a girl group succeed at Eurovision. But the song is not here. And the verses are pleasant, but the chorus is just so, like, what the hell just happened? It's so just direct and just too in your face. It's like they're going for a TikTok trend, but just failing because it just doesn't sound appealing, the whole song. I think this is one of the UK's weakest entries of the last 15 years. And they're doing a big promo tour across Europe, Remember Monday. They're burning cash. They're going to get very low points from the public. Will Ireland vote for this? Probably not. It could be 0 points from the public. I think it will be single digits from the public. They are amazing singers, Remember Monday. So it may get a small bit of jury love. But I do think this is a contender for last place in the final, and I think it will be very hard to escape the bottom 5. I think this is one of the weakest songs of Eurovision 2025, and it's a song contest, not a performer contest, so even if they're great performers, song is just not there for me.
Yeah, I think truly the only thing that could save this are the juries, because they have great voices, great harmonies too. I like that the song is, you know, it's something different. It's something you don't hear at Eurovision at all. You know, it's sort of like a musical performance almost. But I agree that it could have just been done so much better. I think it's great that the BBC recognized that, you know, it's important to send a good live vocalist, because that is what killed them in the last 2 years. But they kind of forgot the song a little bit. I think this is very, you know, designed to show off the vocals, but it's not really, it's not like it's an awful song either, but like, I just wouldn't turn this up, you know. I wouldn't say, hey, let's turn up What the Hell Just Happened, I Remember Monday. So yeah, it's not the worst song, but it's just kind of there for me.
Well, I mean, I'm a sucker for harmonies, I'm a sucker for good vocals, and this is definitely what Remember Monday can offer this year. The song is as you guys said, it's just out there. It's not necessarily bothering anyone, and it probably won't bother anyone, but also nobody will really find this as a, you know, as a performance which will stand out of all of them. I agree that juries will be the ones giving, you know, the majority of points to that, but I'm trying to see this through the point of view of a casual viewer of Eurovision, and I don't think there will be much of a difference between somebody who will be watching this for a first time or for somebody who will be watching this for a 10th or 15th time of it. I enjoy it, it's fine, but it's also messy at the same time. It doesn't have a proper structure. As you said, Sabi, before, it's done in a way that they're showing off their vocals, which they're like, you know, amazing. But this is also pretty much it. And I'm afraid this won't do such an impact as they are hoping for to do in Basel on Saturday night.
Well, what can I add to what you all said? Because it's all true. I think it's almost a trend. We have a few songs this year, I think, or a few entries where the singer is better than the song, and this is definitely one of them. Like Denmark comes to mind, Israel, like a few others, where the songs are pretty basic and forgettable, but you've got an amazing singer behind them, and you're thinking, like, why didn't you just send, like, you had all this time, get a better song. And that's what I feel like with these girls. They're showing off, they've got West End London experience, like, they can sing, there's no doubt about it, but, like, just, like, I hate to say it, but, like, call up Thomas Gayson in Sweden, like, get him, like, he must have something ready, something available that he could give you, you know, just so you're not at the bottom of the table again. And the UK, I mean, every year the public gives them almost nothing anyway. Even when they do send something a little bit better than average, they risk that anyway. But this year, I mean, oh my, I'm very worried for those girls.
All right. That was a lot of words. What does that mean out of 10?
Yeah, I do think they're very likable, but this is the UK, the biggest music industry in Europe. We need something competent. Like this, even for San Marino, I'd be disappointed. Never mind the UK. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the song, and I don't think it will do very well. I am going to give this a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, I listen to it occasionally just because I like the harmonies, but yeah, it's really middle of the road, so I'm giving it a 5 for middle of the point system as well.
It will be 6 for me, because I think this is the most accurate I can be with them right now. And again, I like the girls, I like the energy of them, I like the harmonies, just like the song. You know, maybe next year.
Yeah, and I'll go with a 5 as well.
All right, that concludes the top 5. Not the top 5, for sure not the top 5, but the big 5. But we have one more song, the host act, Switzerland. Zoé May will take us on a voyage. So, Adam, what do you think about this song?
So, many years, the host country sends a weak song. They're focusing on other stuff, like hosting the whole show. But Voyage is this magical French song. It's my personal favorite of Eurovision 2025 based off the studio tracks. And I love the meaning behind the song about being kind to others and treating others well, even if they're not being kind to you. Because when you be kind to people, that's when people reach their full potential, and that's when you reach your own full potential. I love the bridge in the song. I love the ending. It's just, I get these goosebumps. And even before learning about the meaning of the song, I just felt so emotional listening to the song. I think this will do well, especially in the juries. This, I think, will be top 10 in the juries in the final. And Switzerland, they have a very good running order position. I think they're performing 19th, so I don't think it will be really low in the public. It may be about 50 points, depends on staging as well. It's the same person doing the Dizzy staging from last year, which was, some people like it, some people don't like it. I did like the Dizzy staging. So I think this could maybe do an Ilonda, do really well with the juries, do okay with the public or not amazing, and scrape inside the top 10. I think this is absolutely phenomenal and one of the best host country entries we've had in a long time.
We call that a Portugal. We call that a Portugal.
Wait, what?
When the jury loves it and then the televote kind of tanks it. This seems to happen to Portugal almost every year, so we call that a Portugal.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I think if you're hosting Eurovision, this is a perfect host entry. You should send something that is quality, that is competent, and that, you know, you don't even have to qualify for the final. You're already there, so you might as well take a risk. I'm not saying this is necessarily a risky entry, but if this was the semifinalist, we would view this very differently, maybe. And I think I love that we have this gem in the final already, that we don't have to worry, oh, will the televote like it or not? Because the juries will love this, because we saw the live performance. This was in my top three of the live performances in, was it Amsterdam or Madrid? I don't remember. One of the two. My only concern about the televote is that it does take quite a long time to build to that final, you know, to that strong finale. So I'm not sure if the televote will connect with it all too much. But yeah, if the juries do not put this in the top 10 at least, then they failed their job as music professionals, in my opinion.
I have to say that probably Voyage is one of my favorite host entries for the last, I don't know, 15 years. It's incredible. Like, I mean, usually there's an effort about a competition and they literally forget the host broadcasters about their own songs. That can happen quite a lot. With Zoe Me, it's a pure fairy tale. It's pure magic, and I enjoy every single second of it, the way how it's structured and the way how she's performing a song, and it feels so organic, it feels so, you know, honest, and I can really feel that through the screen and streaming service or whatever. Televote, yeah. Not sure about that, how that will happen. It can go either ways, but I'm sure juries will definitely appreciate flawless vocals and the interpretation, which will definitely be, I'm sure, simple but still full of impact, you know. So I'm really looking forward to see what's going to happen in Basel with this one, but it's definitely one of the entries as a host broadcaster they can be really proud to have it as their own Eurovision entry while hosting the competition.
I think a lot of people are sleeping on this. Like, I'm not reading or seeing a whole lot about it online on socials, but I think when they see the live performance, I think it's going to change a lot of minds, and this is going to do probably much better than expected. I agree with Sebi. I think if it's not top 10, I think at the end of the night, when they add the televote, it'll be shocking, because this deserves top 10 no matter what happens. It's the best of the French songs we have this year, by far. I mean, Zoe is just so sweet, and I think you're going to... I think she's going to make that connection with the viewer when we see the staging. And I think that's the only question mark. Like, where this finishes on the board now will depend on how they stage it. Switzerland hasn't necessarily done great in the past every year with staging. So we'll see what they do this year. But I think keep it simple, keep it emotional, let her make that connection with the camera. And I think this is, yeah, easily in the top 10.
So, one last time, out of 10.
I don't think this will do better than France, but I think Voyage may cost France the victory, because it's another French song very late in the running order, so that could cost France the victory, potentially. Mm-hmm. But rating the song, yeah, it's my favorite song of Eurovision 2025 at the moment. I don't think it's going to win, but I would love if this song came top 10. I really hope it does. I think there's potential there. And I would give the song a 9.5 out of 10.
I will give it 9 as well.
9 straight away.
Oh my god, I guess I have to give it a 9 as well.
All right, that's, I think, 36.5. Is that our strongest? I think that's our, after Sweden, that's like our highest score.
It could be.
Yeah. Ooh. It could be. Not surprised.
No, but it also very well deserved. And I have to just to add a little bit of this. As they've said before, people are definitely sleeping on Switzerland this year. This is, you know, just maybe waiting for this moment on stage. And because at the time of recording, I think they're still on the 70th place on Eurovision odds. So it's super odd to have, you know, to have Switzerland so low. But like, I think it's going to be, you know, one of the dark horses of this year. And it will definitely do much better than people think that it will.
I'm excited. Sebi and I have tickets to the Arena Plus show for the final. So I'm thinking that's going to be, well, like there's 30,000 seats. I'm thinking a lot of that will be fans from Switzerland that will get those tickets. So I can't wait for the reaction in the in that arena when she performs. I think it's going to be a really special moment, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. We've done it. We've rated all 37 songs of this year's competition. And, well, Adam, thank you so much once again for being our final guest on this little series. Do you have anything else you would like to say? Any other words? Maybe some other favorites of this year's contest?
Thank you so much, Sebi, Dave, and Jan. My personal favorites, I love Switzerland. I love Azerbaijan, actually. I really like their song this year for some reason. Who else do I love? Oh, Finland, Ikkome. I love that song. I love the meaning. I love Greece, Stereomata. The song is so emotional. I love Poland, Justyna. She's an absolutely amazing performer.
Yeah.
And Australia, I think Gojo, he's suffering a bit with his vocals, so I actually don't think it's a guaranteed qualifier anymore, but I do love that song. And Sweden, Bara Bara Bastu, finally sending a song in Swedish, and it would be an amazing winner.
I think Gojo's charisma might make up for any lack of vocals. I think Australia might be through. I think even if he suffers a bit, just his craziness on stage and his personality might get him the votes anyway. Hopefully. I hope it goes through.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we are. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. And we will see you in Basel.
Yes.
If there's nothing else you want to say, then this is the end of this episode. But maybe tell us again, where are your socials? Where are your TikTok? And
so I am on TikTok and Instagram, allthingsadam.ie. You just search that up and I should come up. So yeah. Give me a follow if you want to, I guess.
Check it out, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.